Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the U.S.-Turkish arms tiff. Turkey has vowed to retaliate if the U.S. sanctions it for buying Russia's S-400 anti-air defense systems and prevents it from purchasing F-35 jets in response. And this escalating standoff suggests that the only possible outcomes are retaliation or retreat by one or the other sides. Former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine during Euromaidan and current one to Greece, Jeffrey Pyatt, warned last month that the U.S. can expect some turbulence in its relations with Turkey prior to what was originally supposed to be next year's election. But the vote was unexpectedly pushed forward by President Erdogan a few weeks ago to now be held on the 24th of June. Just as the American diplomat predicted, relations between the two sides have indeed soured. And while the U.S.'s arming of Kurdish militants in Syria is the primary reason for this, the formal, state-to-state military dimension of their partnership is quickly becoming another crisis point. Turkish Foreign Minister Çavuşoğlu assured his countrymen that their government would retaliate if the U.S. denies them any military equipment on the basis of a clause in the new draft defense bill that indirectly seems to channel the idea behind last year's Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act, or CATSA, which is intended to theoretically punish almost any country cooperating with Russia. Bearing in mind that the Turkish election will be held by the end of next month, it's practically inconceivable that Ankara would walk back on its announcement if Washington does indeed sanction it, because it might lead to political suicide for the ruling AK party, though it can't be precluded that the U.S. will, in fact, escalate tensions via these means, given the asymmetrically aggressive unpredictability of the Trump administration. Whatever the form that Turkey's promised retaliation would be, there's no way that Trump would leave it unanswered, possibly leading to a rapidly downward spiral of relations that fast becomes a new focal point of the new Cold War. It shouldn't be forgotten that Turkey is seriously concerned about what its government has previously described as the terror corridor that the U.S. is setting up in northern Syria through its sponsorship of militant Kurds. And President Erdogan reminded everyone that his military is prepared to possibly launch another operation into the Arab Republic in the near future. So any uptick in troubles in the U.S.-Turkish relationship might play out in this proxy battlefield. Folks, it seems like we're always talking about the U.S. and Turkey because ties between these two nominal allies are fast deteriorating. So we're going to speak to two guests today. The first one's an American and the second one is a Turk. Now, the first one that we're speaking to is Mr. Andrew B. Raup. He is the founder of atstem.org and a Forbes Technology Council contributor.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Andrew, what do you think Foreign Minister Çavuşoğlu had in mind when he said that Turkey would retaliate if the U.S. sanctions it?
Well, you know, this is a really interesting dynamic here. I would like to step back just quickly and just talk about maybe, you know, the effectiveness of, you know, U.S. weapon systems compared to the ones in the East. I think that it's easier to potentially walk away from a deal with, say, the F-35 weapon systems because of, you know, all of the flaws that have come up in them, and that, you know, essentially they're starting to be maybe lured in by some of the price and effectiveness of some of the Eastern weapon systems, like the fifth generation Russian jets. And so I think that what we have to think about is really, if you look at this from the big picture, the East, I believe, is winning the STEM race, STEM, science, technology, and engineering, and math with the West. And so maybe some of the Western scientists have become complacent over the years. Maybe they're not going into sort of this or participating in the arms race. And some of the Eastern scientists are looking at this and creating these weapon systems as a way to prevent, you know, Western hegemony from potentially impacting their sovereignty. So you're actually seeing sort of this interesting dynamic unfolding. So I think the low-hanging fruit would be that they may decide that they won't participate and make that order of those F-35 planes and maybe start to sign additional deals with Russia. That's my, I think, the low-hanging fruit. And then, you know, what you're probably going to end up seeing is a lot of things that may or may not be brought up in the news, but changes in policy when it comes to Africa and the moves that are made in Djibouti, in Sudan, and other things where there's this sort of covert race for resources and shadow war going on between, you know, the Eastern and Western powers there.
Right. Okay, Andrew. Well, do you think that this warning will be enough to get the Trump administration to retreat on this threat, or could it inadvertently provoke the president to punish his country's supposed Turkish ally?
Well, you know, Trump has been just wildly unpredictable here. I think that what it comes down to is the amount of pressure internally that is put on the president. You know, what's really interesting about this is there's people that are talking about how President Trump is trying to drain the swamp and he's playing, you know, 4D chess and these sort of things, and that, you know, he's maybe playing the long game and he might submit to the deep state initially and participate in some of these weapons deals and that sort of thing. And as a result, may alter his foreign policy with Turkey so that he gives in the hopes that maybe later on down the line, he'll strike and sort of, you know, maybe do something for the people. I'm not necessarily convinced that, you know, Donald Trump is playing this grand elaborate chess game that everybody's talking about, but I think time will tell, and I think that's to be determined.
Okay, I see. Well, overall then, what effect will this escalating dispute have on the run-up to next month's elections in Turkey, and does it play to President Erdogan's advantage or to his disadvantage?
That's a great question too. I think that what you're seeing in this multipolar world is that, you know, ultimately the influence of NATO in the West is diminishing. I think that, you know, just personally as somebody here in the United States, I see tremendous amount of opportunity, part of the One Belt initiative that's taking place. And so I think the people in Turkey, I think the people throughout Europe see these sort of things. And so maybe this alliance with NATO, maybe the sort of this romanticism of the West is fading. And so as a result, I think that there are individuals there that really won't necessarily, they will trust in, you know, the president's decision making there and maybe be more unified to stand behind him in the upcoming election.
Okay, Andrew, well, we have about a minute left, so I just want to ask you real briefly then to wrap up our interview. What do you think the regional implications of this U.S.-Turkish dispute will be? I mean, do you foresee any significant shifts in policy, or do you think it'll be more of the same, at least for the near future?
I was thinking about that before the interview. I think that they're most likely just going to, you know, sort of kick the can down the road. I do think that there will be more of a move toward the east. You know, there's many different advantages to what's taking place there. But not only are there sort of these goodwill type things that are being created with the shadow diplomacy and that sort of thing, but also from an economic side of things. You know, I grew up in Detroit, and, you know, they make cars here. And when you look at the cars that are made here versus the cars that are made in Germany versus the cars that are made in Japan, people make purchasing decisions based upon price, and they make purchasing decisions based upon, you know, the efficiency and effectiveness of the equipment that they are buying. And I think if you look at this on the macro level, you know, Russian weaponry, some of the Chinese weapon systems, they're great. They're cost effective. And I think that that will impact foreign policy decision making between countries moving forward.
Okay, Andrew, I got to say, this is a pretty good overview of U.S.-Turkish military relations, as well as a look at what might come next in the brewing crisis between these two one-time allies. So thanks for coming on the program. I really appreciated your insight. Now we're going to switch over and speak to Ms. Serap Balaman. She's a Turkish political commentator and a regular here at Trendstorm.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Serap, when Piatt predicted a period of turbulence in the U.S.-Turkish relationship before the upcoming elections, was he hinting that President Erdogan might be responsible for this as a campaign ploy, or was it a veiled threat that the U.S. will provoke Turkey in order to destabilize it?
Oh, yes. Both choices are valuable. This is a great strategy to let Erdogan feel responsible for the turbulence and yet pushing forward the provocation in the aim of destabilizing. Washington is implementing an asymmetric pressure on Ankara. This is a long-expected result. I believe one of the main goals of this perpetual conflict in the Mideast to weaken and divide Turkey. This had long planned and put into practice since 2002. A serious aggravation in the U.S.-Turkish relations has started when the United States requested Turkey's cooperation at the beginning of the Second Iraq War. The newborn, freshly on duty under Washington's influence ruling party, AKP, had its first failure. Turkish parliament rejected USA's proposals to allow more than 60,000 U.S. troops to operate from southeastern Turkish bases and ports on March 2003 and dashed American hopes and caused heavy costs for the U.S. military operations. Starting from that point, U.S.-Turkish relations deterioration raised questions about the two countries' strategic partnership. This had been an important turning point. Following the invasion of Iraq in 2003, 4th of July, as it's commonly referred, Hood event, is another milestone as well, where 11 Turkish special forces troops were captured, led away with Hood, over their heads in Süleymaniye. The soldiers who had burlap bags placed over their heads during the arrest were taken to Baghdad and released 2 days later after intense diplomatic negotiations. The events that led up are disputed, the U.S. alleging that the soldiers were a part of a plot to assassinate the governor of Kerkuk and the Turkish government and military denying this. U.S. government never has apologized and even is widely regarded as one of the worst moments in the history of U.S.-Turkish relations. Back to 2002 Millennium Challenge, a military exercise run by the new defunct U.S. Joint Forces Command, was a failure. When it was conducted, this exercise was the most ambitious and the costly military simulation in American history. The storyboard of the exercise was targeting very clearly Turkey and was about Turkey's invasion by the USA. This caused great tensions between both countries' military forces. We had similar smaller-scale incidents like this in Italy NATO meetings and another ones that U.S. military personnel are working on divided Turkey map.
This is really interesting how you're talking about military relations, because I want to ask you how likely it is that this rhetorical dispute between the U.S. and Turkey will spill over, let's say, into northern Syria in the near future, or rather continue spilling over and possibly go east of the Euphrates.
Yes, the meaning world model war going on Syria would obviously be affected Turkey's position as being Syria's neighbor and historical relations in between. Regional alliance and will have an impact on Syria. We are witnessing of a world main power struggle in between the main actors. Ankara, at the beginning of imperial's attack on Syria, was at the Western alliance camp. This is how Turkey became a bridge of transfer money, terrorism, and arms trafficking. Ankara might have other reasons for this, but not justified. Since the July 2016 coup attempt by the same alliance powers using NATO facilities in Turkey, Ankara changed the way of considering Syrian war and realized the danger at the doorstep and switched sides. And now it's a part of Astana talks. Of course, this had to be punished. Turkey has gained, Turkish government has completed a successful military operation against PKK and terrorist organizations in Afrin and against a huge blow to U.S. Against U.S. Central Command's long-term plans in the country. If one of the opposition candidates wins the election, this could have significant implications on the long-term Turkish foreign policy making in the region. East of Euphrates is still a big question, so this is everything is on stop now. Everything is on the everything is waiting. The actual Turkish government headed by President Erdogan is very decisive to combat YPG in any cause, but we cannot say the same thing about the Turkish opposition parties. They are reluctant to apply military force in Syria all along. And main opposition party is hesitant to endorse even Afrin move. So this is this will be affected in any case if power changes hands on June 24. New Turkish government priority would not be in Syria or regional policies.
Okay.
But domestic restoration, internal affairs.
Okay, well, you know, Sarah, then if we look at everything in terms of the bigger picture, as the world enters what is increasingly becoming common to refer to as the new Cold War, Sarah, what role will U.S.-Turkish relations play in this competition? Competition, and how important of a factor is this relationship for the future of the Mideast?
Due to the recent global paradigm shift that we are all witnessing at very high point, the former political, military, and economic alliances agreements of the whole world are being revisited, reshaping. The counterweight to soul power is well exist, and there is a growing alliance between Russia, China, and Iran. Military power of a unipolar imperialism era has just came to an end at 14th of April 2018 in front of all the world, and USA's military superiority need is being replaced by another multipolar power, Russia. Other forms of war, financial warfare, is on high rise, as well as military choice, sanctions, trade wars. Globally, many countries and regions are living in trouble and conflict all over. Many countries are taking already places in this new multipolar system and powering more. In all this trouble, when we look at the map, one can immediately see the political importance of the Turkish Republic in the history and today as a crossroad bridge. Now, this is the fatal moment for the Turkish Republic, is being forced to choose a camp. In this new model of multipolar world order, the decision will be taken or preferred, one camp or another, will have significant effect of global shaping of politics in the region in a close future. Turkey has still historical and cultural capacity of bringing all those extreme ends together in a peaceful combination. Turkey well exists in the history of the Europe and Asia. It will be highly advantageous for all sides, a well-balanced secular Turkish Republic.
Serap, this is a very informative and concise discussion about U.S.-Turkish ties, as well as the global strategic importance of these two great powers' relationships. So, thanks again for coming on the program. As always, it's a pleasure to hear your views.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Andrew and Serap share with us today, we can come to the conclusion that, yes, ties between the two are deteriorating. Now, while the U.S.'s arming of Kurdish militants in northern Syria is the primary catalyst behind this, we do see shades of the new Cold War between unipolarity and multipolarity playing out here, specifically in the sense of Turkey moving eastward ever since its failed pro-American coup attempt in summer of 2016. Now, there are indeed going to be consequences, not only for U.S.-Turkish relations, but also for the geopolitics of the Mideast as a whole. But as of now, everything's up for grabs. We really don't know what Trump's going to do. The ball is literally in his court. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.